Happy Tuesday, everybody, and welcome back to the Couchside Judges. I'm Scott Fontana. Follow me on Twitter at Scott_Fontana.
And I'm Dan Urban. Follow me at The Dan Urban. Follow the podcast at Couchside Judges. And subscribe to us everywhere.
And yeah, that's not a mistake. We're on a Tuesday this week instead of a Monday. We'll be back to our regularly scheduled program next week.
And as always, make sure you read the scoring criteria, because we talk judging in MMA.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you.
I thought this was a complaining about heavyweight MMA show.
Oh, we do our fair amount of that.
Okay, good, good. Honestly, I'm thinking of converting. We should just, every week, we just whine and moan about heavyweight MMA.
Yeah, I'm down.
The fact that it exists.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't mind. Sometimes it's fun. Sometimes it's fun, all right?
I don't mind that it exists. I mind that they let them fight for so long. Like, at some point, just end it.
Yeah, honestly, like, we talk about, you know, one round and done. That's what it should be. But I feel like, realistically, for a championship fight, you're going 5 minutes. And for a regular fight, you're going 3 minutes.
I like it.
You know?
I'm down with that part of your scoring.
If you're fighting with rules. A belt on the line, you can fight for those championship minutes.
I like that.
So then we got to see, hey, I mean, does he have the stamina to last those championship minutes, man? Or is he going to burn out in two? Anyway, yeah, we're not converting yet, but it's coming. Dan, it's we were delayed this week. You had some fun stuff going on this weekend.
Yeah, it was a good weekend. It was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was hoping to run into Superfan Ari on Sunday, but that didn't happen. He wasn't there.
Oh yeah, that's right. You had your dealing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Your drug dealing thing. I mean, card dealing.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah. You had like a thing on Saturday too, if I remember.
Oh yeah, I shadowed my second event. So.
Oh yeah, bury that. Just forget about that thing. It's old. Now it's his second one. It doesn't even matter anymore. He doesn't even care. No enthusiasm. Nothing.
It was fun. It was a fun event.
No, that's cool. That's cool. Any memorable fights?
One Amy fight. One girl ate a clean left hook and just face planted right in front of me. And I don't think I've ever seen someone get knocked out that close up before. Mm-hmm. And how like shaky they are afterwards. That was kind of eye opening a little bit.
Did it change you, like rock you to the core?
No.
Are you a different human now than last time we spoke?
I'm not, no.
Okay. All right, just checking. Just wanna, you know, yeah. I've never really experienced it quite so close to. I mean, I've been close, you know, but not quite that close.
Well, it was kind of crazy because most cages have like that catwalk. On the edge, sure. At edge of it, this did not have one, so you were right against the fence.
Okay.
So that was pretty wild.
They didn't have the requisite setback from the property line?
The what? Oh, the yeah. Yeah, I used to work in the building department. I should have realized that.
You should know that.
I should have known that, yeah.
Homeowners listening know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any hooser. We're not here to talk too much about the shadow judging as much as it is a cool and exciting experience for Dan. We already talked about it last time. I don't even think you got to do too much judging from it, did you? There's a lot of finishes, right?
I think four or five went to the cards, but yeah, there were a lot of finishes. Okay. So.
But any experience is good experience, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I shouldn't say that. There are times where experience is bad experience, such as the time when I thought that I was going to go back and watch Bellator 302, a.k.a. PFLator 1. A.K.A. Bellator Champion Series : Belfast. And no matter what you call it, it's not available yet on Max.
No.
The platform that ended up streaming it. When last time we had a show, we didn't know what Bellator was going on. You were preparing to watch DAZN. I kept saying, nah, man, it's probably not going to be DAZN. And sure enough, it wasn't. But I kind of wish it was, because at least we probably could have accessed it, right?
I bet it is on DAZN, if you're a member there.
Yeah. I am not.
Neither am I.
They don't need my money. It's okay. I decided it wasn't necessary for them. But yeah, I thought it was cool that Max stepped up to the plate. I think a lot of people thought it was cool because a lot of people have Max. It's a good platform, realistically. It has a lot of stuff that I watch and enjoy. I just had on in the background before. I was watching Skyfall on Max.
Okay.
Great Bond movie. And I'm thinking, well, surely the place that's going to host the Bellator library, as was advertised, And I understand why that's not ready. But you would think that, at the very least, the thing that just aired a couple days ago would be available by, say, Monday. And sure enough, it totally wasn't. So, what does that mean for our show?
Means it we means will not.
20 rounds that happened, we're not gonna talk about, right?
We're not gonna talk about. I looked this up on YouTube. I found it right on YouTube. I typed in the fights. Whoever posted them, it is the same quality of a camcorder in a movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think my scores can really be that accurate. And mid fight for one of the rounds, a pop up came up on the window twice.
Yeah, but that's like a referee walking in your way. That's okay.
No, it's not okay.
Of course it is.
There was a head kick thrown.
It's like when you have to look at your phone when you're judging from home and you got to take a break from watching.
Yeah, look at the phone.
Isn't that normal?
Oh, totally, yeah. There's a point where there's a head kick thrown. It's completely blacked out with whatever ad was on the pop-up. And then next thing you know, they're on the ground. And the commentary says that he caught the head kick.
So yeah, that'll do it.
I don't know if you can trust the commentators on that. So
you should always trust the commentators. They know everything. And they say everything, too. They call out everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, I was watching the fights on Friday. It was tough to keep an eye on that while also keeping an eye on NCAA tournament, which coincided with me doing some regular work stuff. And that meant that my level of focus, let's say, dipped below the necessary amount for me to score rounds.
Yeah.
But I was aware of the performances being put on by the fighters. So, you know, I think long story short, we can at least say that there were three contested rounds from PFL Azor 1. But realistically, good, solid judging on the whole. I don't have any opinions on those rounds, but we can say that two of them happened in Corey Anderson's championship victory over Carl Moore in hostile territory. Mm-hmm. Rounds 1 and 3. Anderson was in the majority in both cases. Judges David Lesby, Ben Cartledge, and Mark Collette were on that fight. Mark Collette was in the minority in round 1, and David Lesby was in the minority in round 3. But since we didn't score it any which way, your guess is as good as mine. We would have loved to have talked about it. It just didn't happen this week. So sorry to those across the pond. And then also there was one round in the Patricio Pitbull victory, which, by the way, looked really nice getting that finish. Patient, but also deadly in pouring on the offense. Did you get to watch that?
I saw that fight. Yep. But I saw, like I told you, I saw it in below standard definition.
No, I understand. He looked like a potato.
I did hear it fine, and I do not like that commentary team. I need Morrow. Morrow just needs to be on the call. I like Big John in his new role. I do appreciate that.
Could they check in with him on the scoring?
Yes, but Dan Hardy, Sean O'Connell just doesn't work for me.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Do you miss Kenny Florian not being on there?
Kenny would have improved it for sure.
Kenny apparently announced this week that he has parted ways with PFL.
Okay. Unfortunate for us.
He made it sound like it was his choice, or at least something he's happy with. And so certainly wish him well in that regard. I think it's a loss for the PFL programming, because I think Kenny had a reasonably solid and at least an interested grasp of MMA judging.
Would love if Kenny and Anik got to call one together for the UFC.
Well, you can just go back and watch those.
I think that would be, well, yeah, a bit now.
Yeah, but just watch the old fights anyway. They're
old
they're
fights old. Are, yeah, old fights are good, but they're for cool. New fights too.
Yeah, be all right. But anyway, in that fight there, before we went into the third round, round 2 was split. Didn't end up mattering, but Mark Collette was the out judge, giving that one to Kennedy, whereas judges Lethby and Cartledge saw it for Mr. Pitbull. Yeah, once again, no opinion.
No opinion.
No opinion on the matter. I do have an opinion, though, with regard to Patricio Pitbull himself. But I want to know yours first. Will anyone beat him at 145 pounds before he hits free agency? And he's not saying specifically when that is, but he's making it sound like it's kind of close.
Maybe. It's possible.
Cool.
I hope
that was a great take. We should move on.
Be better if no one does.
Well, yeah, I would say so too. I'd be curious to see. I mean, you know, he kind of said he might be willing to leave before the sale happened. He kind of backed off that a little bit and seems to be a little more playing the options open since then. But I mean, realistically, I think if he hits free agency, he's gone. I think he's finally going to go to the UFC, especially if he has not lost at 145 pounds and is able to go.
That'd be awesome.
I would love to see what he could. I mean, look, it's not that I necessarily needed him to leave Bellator before, but like, it sounds like the writing is on the wall for Bellator as a, you know, an entity under the PFL banner. Everything you hear, even from Patricio himself, it makes it seem like he's hearing that there may not be a second year of Bellator. And, you know, if that's the case, do we really want Patricio Pitbull sticking around so he can fight without elbows?
We don't.
No, thank you.
We don't.
No, thank you. He had some nice elbows or like forearm strikes thrown in to that little finishing barrage on Kennedy.
Yeah, for sure.
You wouldn't see that, which is just further underscores how stupid the main part of the product is for PFL.
Dumb, dumb, dumb.
Do you got any opinions on Corey Anderson? Did you watch the whole fight?
I watched the two rounds.
Just the rounds we were going to try.
I was always interested in Corey Anderson because it was always, this guy's going to go walk into a title shot and just take it and be king of Bellator.
And he's got, he's got Jersey connections too. He trains in with Frankie Edgar and everything out here.
Yeah, so I mean, it actually didn't happen that way. It looked like it was going to happen that way. And, you know, one headbutt changes everything. Or head clash, I should say, not a headbutt. Head
clash of heads.
But he finally got the belt now, so.
Yes, he does.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the most thrilling fight, but it was kind of a Corey Anderson fight.
He got warned again by Blake Rice about, you know, going forward with his head.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that.
Yeah.
It's not the right way to use your head. Let's put it that way. I don't really have much more. I don't think we can say much more, unfortunately, about PFL Tour because, they really dropped the ball. I still can't believe that when I go into search on Max and I search the word Bellator, that only, you know, 5 to 10 minute, like, you know, leading up to event videos pop up, right? That's what you were getting?
Yeah, like the embedded series, basically.
Yeah. Embedded series PFL Tour edition.
Yeah.
Not great. Let's fix that.
Yeah.
I guess I'm not surprised that it did happen. It seemed like this kind of came together. Probably didn't come together in the last few days. It probably was something that they had in the works anyway. But yeah, not good. Fix that. Get on it. Anyway, let's talk a little about UFC too. This was, first off, just an almost entirely uninteresting UFC card, even by like Apex standards, except for the main event, which I was interested in for sure.
Yeah, finally a main event. That should be a 5-round fight.
Yeah, absolutely. And we saw a nice performance from Rose Namajunas. She's starting to look a little more comfortable at 125 pounds. Granted, it is against someone else who's also up from 115 and probably can even still hit that weight if she felt like it. So it's a little different, but I'm okay with that. Hey,
yeah,
not sucking water weight out of you. Good for you. Good for you. Any thoughts on her performance?
I thought she looked fine. She looked good. I liked her reversals in wrestling. I thought those were really slick.
Yeah, I feel like that's part of her game we don't always see as often from her, because a lot of these fights with her tend to be, you know, striking or maybe they're just like straight up grappling the way she would like it to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or she gets slammed on her head. Yeah. There's that too. just once, to be fair. but at least that knocked her out anyway. But what I would ask you from her fight and just her in general at this stage of her career, do you think she has what it takes to meet her established goal of becoming a 2-division champion?
Yeah, I think she can. I think she's one of those fighters that can beat anybody on any given night. So she goes on a run, she definitely could.
And she's got enough name value that realistically she could probably have an inside edge to a title shot if, you know, all things created equal, right?
Yep.
I'm wondering, though, because they were asking her, like, hey, what about a potential? I think she was talking about this on Ariel's show on Monday. What if there was a scenario where you met Erin Blanchfield for a title shot? And that made me start thinking, like, oh, no, they're going to not give Erin Blanchfield the title shot next if she wins this fight against Manuel Fiorot.
They can't do that.
I don't like that. And vice versa. If Fiorot wins, she's got to fight. The winner of Saturday in Atlantic City, like, without question to me, barring some sort of really just off-puttingly boring fight, it has to get the title shot.
It just has to.
It's the only way to do things. I know I believe in a meritocracy more than the powers that be often do, but this makes total sense. I mean, you've got a rising star in either Emmanuel Fearaud of France, a growing market for them, or an Aaron Blanchfield, who's just a rocket taking off from North Jersey, mind you.
Yeah.
As Taylor Ham country. And she could end up being the youngest women's champion ever. Why would you deny that? Why would you not push that?
Yeah, as long as the winner doesn't win via Fitch and Pray, then we're good.
Yeah, I think so. We'll see. We'll talk about that fight, of course, a little later in our program. Before we do get to the unanimity report and the real contested rounds that we actually watched or were able to watch, adventures in officiating this week, sir.
Seems like we're doing this.
Not because of the refs or anything like that, but just the refs had to deal with something, let's say, uncommon, right?
Yeah, quite uncommon.
How many times have you ever been bit in your life?
Well, oh my God, my dog bites me all the time when we're playing.
I'm sorry, I should change that. How many times have you ever been bit by another human in your life?
Probably my sister when we were kids at one point.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times.
One of my kids has bit the other kid a lot. Also bit my wife. Never bit me. Knew better. Knew better than to bite daddy. But yeah, I've never been bit. But you know who has been bit? And we've seen it. Like, we've seen the marks. We've seen it on screen. We've seen it all. Andre Lima, debuting UFC fighter. He's been bit by another debuting fighter, Igor Severino. Gets the DQ. This was, I think it's the first time we'd really seen it, right? Since, like, the old days. And even, it was Campbell McLaren, you know, likes to tweet on social media and everything. He put out a story from the earliest of UFC days, right? UFC 1, saying that, was it Horian Gracie? It was one of the Gracies. I'm pretty sure it was Horian Gracie. Gets up and tells everybody, like, even though there's basically no rules, he's like, but no biting. We are men, not animals. And I'm paraphrasing. And I was like, you know what? Even then they knew, yo, don't do that. And yet this kid, who was born 10 years after UFC 1, mind you, Igor Severino, well, he bit his opponent.
Shouldn't have done that. I mean, it makes no sense why he did it. It was a great fight up until that point, actually.
It was a solid fight. I was enjoying it. And why? And you know, now this kid, like I said, he's 20 years old. I think he turns 21 this year. He's already been cut by the UFC. His purse was withheld by the Nevada State Athletic Commission. So I don't know what's going to happen with that. He'll at least be fined. So he'll come home lighter than he was supposed to begin with on, you know, a debuting deal, which was probably 10 and 10 or something like that, maybe 12 and 12. So he'll only get at least a portion of the 10. And now he'll never fight in the UFC again, almost definitely. His career just started. It's already over in the UFC.
It's finito.
I kind of hope this kid actually gets a second chance. Like, I feel bad that would be absolutely over. Like, I hope he goes on a run and learns from it and does, you know, like, maybe takes, like, an anti-biting course or something like that. That, like, shows him, you know, fighters are friends, not food, or something along those lines. But I mean, it's a tough thing to see at, like, the very start of his career. But absolutely, like, he's got to be punished. He should be gone. He should be gone for now. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe minimum 5 years away.
Yeah, and that would. He's only 20, so.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was Chris Tognoni stepping in and making the DQ. I thought it was weird though that Brendan Fitzgerald was stunned that they were ending the fight rather than giving a warning, and then moments later when we finally see the actual bite marks on Lima's arm, he's like, oh, okay, I guess that makes sense. I'm like, well, yeah, it's biting.
If only they took that kind of approach with criticizing scorecards. Having the off-the-cuff reaction and then being shown the light and being, oh, okay, I get it.
Well, the problem is there's no bite marks for
yeah,
for scorecards. You got to come up with those scorecards that have teeth mark on them. That'll work. Anyway, that's it for our opener. I think we got to head into the contested rounds. And, of course, the unanimity report, which I'm doing a better job of enunciating sometimes.
Yes, unanimity.
Like we said, Bellator 302, PFL Tour 1, Bellator Champion Series Belfast. Take your pick. 21 out of 24 unanimous there. No 9-8 splits. A percentage of 87.5. Really nice job by the UK crew. You like to see that. Over in Vegas at the Apex, 21 of 26 unanimous rounds for an 80.8% unanimity rate. No 9-8 splits. All told, 22 out of 50, 84%. Really nice job on the whole across the two major promotions in North America, even those operating outside of North America, for the judges. Good job.
Excellent job.
I said good job.
I said excellent job.
Well, agree to disagree. Let's get to our five contested rounds from the UFC, which we actually were able to watch because these were made available on the platform that they aired on. And not just later, but like moments later.
Near instant.
I have my quibbles with ESPN Plus at times. There's certain things that bug me about it, but they do not drag their feet when it comes to putting that stuff of make that stuff available right away. And I do appreciate
it. I'm excited for the instant 4K replays of each fight on Netflix. So
yeah, we'll see about that.
No more in and out when you fast forward too far ahead. And they're like, oh wait, hang on, we gotta catch up. Potato mode.
We'll have to see what happens. But yeah, let's dive in. I think we should start. I mean, there's a lot of ways we could start, but I thought we should start with the one fight that had two contested rounds in it. Even though it was a unanimous 29-28, it was one of those sneaky ones that has two rounds split.
My favorite.
One Raj had to go rogue.
My favorite.
Mm-hmm. Daria Zeleznikova. Hopefully I nailed that, but I don't think I did. Very late and I'm very tired, as I tend to be for these shows. Defeated Montserrat Rendon, like I said, all 29-28s. Round one and two are our rounds. And just to skip ahead a little bit, Mike Bell and Junichiro Camijo are in the majority of each round. Sal D'Amato is the rogue. He's the reason we're talking about these two rounds. So let's start with one.
Yeah, I'm just going to call her Z.
All right, yeah.
I thought Z landed better strikes on the feet. Rendon had a nice takedown early, but did nothing with it. She got another one late in the round. Did nothing with it. She did have a couple punches that did land, but for the most part, I think she's just swimming and connecting on air. So it's Z for me, 10-9.
I also went, and I'm going to call her Daria because I appreciated that show on MTV.
I never really watched it.
You never watched it?
I know what it is. I never really watched it, though.
I enjoyed it. It's very deadpan, but I enjoyed it. I would say one of the lyrics in the theme song is "You're standing on my neck," and I think that would be a really good finishing move for Darin.
That would be a good move.
Just a neck stand. Is that legal?
They're not stomping.
In theory, I guess you kind of can, right? I don't know. Is the neck considered head? That's a good question.
Depends where on the neck they're standing, I guess.
Well, what if it's the throat?
I think the throat's illegal. Okay. You can't grasp a throat or crush the throat, I don't
but
think.
But it's not, well, crushing would be one thing, sure. But grasp, that's not a grasp. You can crush in a submission.
You can, yeah, you can. I mean, I don't know. A gray area, I guess.
This was supposed to be a throwaway joke referencing the 90s, and all of a sudden it turned into, yeah, I wonder. But anyway, I did agree with you. I also saw it for Daria Zeleznikova. And it turns out, so did our rogue judge, Sal D'Amato. He saw it the same way as us. Honestly, I thought the offense in this one was reasonably solid from Zeleznikova compared to Rendon. So I felt pretty secure in my score. I'm not saying that Judges Bell and Camijo couldn't go the other way, but I thought this was a decent round for Zeleznikova. Granted, it wasn't super high rate of work, but I thought it was okay. So what does that mean for Judge D'Amato, man?
Couchside override.
That rogue brought us into it, but you know what? He got us on his side in this case. Is he going to do the same again in round two? Let's find out.
Very close round. I thought both were landing good shots. Z is landing, and Rendon's head is snapping back, or she's getting moved backwards. But Rendon is actually landing this round as opposed to last round, and it's busting up the face of Z, especially her nose. I think Rendon wins it, and you know, those last strikes after she gets the takedown is what really pushes it over for me. Really close, but 10-9 Rendon.
Yeah, this one's close despite the visuals, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the visuals almost make it like, well, how could you give it the other way? Well, it's not exactly true. There is some offense being landed from Zlaznikova, right? It's not terrible. I did side with Rendon. I thought she busted up her nose enough and her face enough. And yes, when she gets those strikes on the ground, that definitely was like, okay, that's a little bit of an exclamation point for me. But you can go the other way. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And once again, man, who's the rogue who gave it to Rendon, just like you and me?
Sal D'Amato.
What does that mean for Sal?
Couchside override. 2-1 fight.
2-1 fight. Wow. Simply amazing. And still didn't change the result. The 29-28 all around. Sometimes maybe we just leave it alone, right? Except no, because we're nerds. Let's move on to the main event, though, actually. There was one round in Rose Namajunas' victory over Amanda Ribas, which was 49-46 twice and a 48-47. There is the one round here that accounts for the difference there. And is the same judges in the same spots as the last fight. Mike Bell's in the majority. Junichiro Camijo's in the majority. Sal D'Amato, he's on his own. Take me through round two.
I think it was really close on the feet. I'd probably give a slight edge to Ribas. She then attacks a knee bar on the ground, but it's not, I don't even know if I would even call it a submission attempt or give her credit for the assist submission attempt. It wasn't really,
I feel like you have to give at least a minor bit of credit for it, but I don't think it's much. It really was never like locked or anything or even remotely close to it. It kind of already slipped out before it got close to being locked.
Yeah, so I'm not even sure she would get credit on the stat line with a submission attempt there. But then she attacks that headlock takedown that she just loves, and ends up on her back and eating body punches from Rose for much of the remainder of the round. I think that puts Rose over for the win. 10-9 Rose.
I do too. I'm with you. And in this case, we are not with with Rogue D'Amato over there. Bad job here. No, it's fine. It's really okay. It's a reasonably close round.
That would be a super villain named Rogue D'Amato.
Rogue? Actually, that would be... Rogue D'Amato would be like a very good like Italian Bond villain.
That would be good, yeah.
I like it. He's trying to take over the vineyards. Or maybe the olive oil the racket over there. And Bond's got to infiltrate. I don't know. I had Skyfall on. What do you want? It's all about the list of spies and everything. Anyway, I don't have much more to add to this fight. We got two more rounds. One of them, we're going to go back to that the bite fight, MMA's version of the bite fight anyway. Andre Lima. By the way, that in and of itself is like a good reason to say we got to give this kid a second chance. Mike Tyson, God, how many second chances?
Yeah.
I mean, biting isn't necessarily the worst thing he was ever, you know, convicted of in his lifetime. So there's that. But
he even sells ears now.
He sells, what is it?
It's gummy ears.
They're gummy like cannabis or CBD or something like that, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't partake. I'm a square. But that's what I always say. We're on to this fight, the bite fight. Round one of Andre Lima's victory over Igor Severino. Actually, it was pretty interesting, and not just from a judging perspective. It was just kind of a fun fight, but let's talk about the judging part of it.
Yep, fun round. Both guys were getting after it. Severino's landing some knees, good kicks, uppercuts. Lima's landing some good strikes of his own. On the ground, Lima attacks a decent rear naked choke that Severino escapes, turns it into an omoplata attack. Got a little extra excited. Lands a couple.
Yeah, you would.
I'm like, wow, we're going to get omoplata finish in the UFC because it was pretty deep at one point.
It's happened. You should get a Ben Saunders poster.
Yeah, maybe.
He gave you the one thing you always asked for.
I know he did.
Don't be a jerk.
I'm not going to be a jerk.
No.
But he did land a couple strikes from there in the position. But ultimately, it's escaped. They're back on the feet. And then they land this simultaneous elbow. But obviously Lima's elbow was much better. You can tell after that one landed, all of Severino's strikes for the remainder of the round had a lot less oomph on it. So it's Lima for me, 10-9.
Yeah, honestly, like, at most turns, I felt like the offense that Lima would land was just ahead of Severino's. Mm-hmm. It was like Severino's not doing nothing, but I think he's just at every turn kind of being outdone. So yeah. It's not that you can't go Severino here, but I feel really good about a Lima score, man.
Yeah, me too.
I think this is, I don't want to say it's obvious, but of the five rounds we're talking about today, and realistically, I think we could probably lump in those other two rounds because nobody was talking about those as blowout rounds from Bellator anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that almost definitely this is the one that's like, yeah, this is kind of the one that we should have all been on the same side for. But again, I'll stop short of throwing it on the list.
Okay, sounds good.
I won't throw it on the list. I'm just in the majority here with you and Junichiro Comijo and Anthony Maness. It was Jaron Vallel who was the out judge in this case.
Mm.
Who knows? Sometimes you get a different view, right?
For sure.
But yeah, realistically, I feel good about my score. One more round to go. I know you were really hyped to talk about this one. The third round of a heavyweight fight in which the result of this score just didn't matter. Carl Williams gets the victory. Unanimous decision over Justin Taffa, completing the Taffa to be named later trade from earlier in the, what do you call it, season? We're going to call it UFC season? Whatever. 29-28 twice and a 30-27. Again, this is round three. Williams is up 2-0 on both cards. It just doesn't matter, and it's a heavyweight fight in which wrestler is, he's wrestling.
There was one point in this round where I was like, why don't we just, you know, ring the bell and just go to the cards now?
I imagine it was subsequent to some of the more interesting elements of the early
portion. It started fine. Taffa rocked Williams. Williams is stumbling forward, desperate to avoid any more shots and, you know, to get finished. Gets a takedown. And he does only get the takedown because he's fighting Taffa. And then he just lays on him. Taffa's not even trying anything. He's just like, I'll just chill here. Let me rest. And Williams is like, yeah, let me just lay on top of you and I'll rest too. For like 30 seconds, nothing's happening.
Heavyweight MMA, ladies and gentlemen.
And then finally, Williams starts working around, to grab the wrist, land a little bit of pitter-patter. Back on the feet where Williams gets another takedown. And he actually landed a couple body shots. He had some knees, while Taffa was kind of in the up all fours. Not the best round of MMA, but I think it's Taffa here. 10-9.
I think you have to go Taffa here. I think the damage is really the only actual scorable element that really happened. I mean, what did Williams do that you could really say, okay, this, he was more effective in this fight, I mean, he was effective in neutralization, but that's not worth scores. We're looking at fight actions that are going to get you toward the natural conclusion of this fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
More or less. And that's really not anything Williams did in this round for sure. So I think you have to give it to Taffa. So as much as I kind of was against the last round, I'm almost like leaning even more to this round.
Okay. Yeah, I you got good reasoning there.
Mm-hmm. I'll stop short of it because, first off, it's heavyweight MMA. This thing's just the third round heavyweight MMA is like, that's like being sentenced to hell.
Yeah, I mean, there is.
Maybe hell won't be that bad, but like,
I just don't
understand hell.
I just don't understand why there's such a difference in conditioning at the top of the division as opposed to the rest of the division.
I think you answered your own question.
Right. So then why are these UFC fights then?
They need some bodies. I don't know.
Roster limits.
The heavyweight roster limit should be 7. I don't even want a top 10. And that includes the champ. There will be a champion and 6 contenders. And then once in a while, they'll bring in a new guy and say, hey, how does he do against the guy who's 6? And if 6 wins, he gets to move on and not have to fight for his life the next time. And then the other guy goes away. And if he comes in, he's number 6.
Mm.
I've created an amazing system.
Like, I don't even. Derek Lewis doesn't even get that gassed.
No, not really.
It's like.
But he fights kind of a weird way, right? He kind of like. I don't know. He paces himself well. I think it's actually. I should give him a compliment instead of trying to say he's weird. I think he just tends to pace himself pretty well.
I suppose.
Well, anyway, I don't want to talk anymore about heavyweight MMA. because that's for the next episode where we talk about heavyweight MMA and how much it stinks. But that's, I think, it for our contested rounds. We had plenty of finishes across two events. 4 in PFL Azor, 3 by KO or TKO, 1 by submission, 2 ended in the first round. There was also a first round submission in an AMI fight, which for some reason was on this card because, but I don't count that towards them. We're talking about the pros here, you know? The designation between pro and amateur is very important because the pros make an extra $200.
Yes.
Yes. That is, that's more or less the difference.
And the AMI has to sell tickets.
And AMI has, very often they do. God, I hope they weren't selling tickets in Belfast. Although they probably had a decent time with it. UFC had 5 finishes, 2 by KO or TKO, 3 by submission, and 3 fights ended in the first round. And then there was also a DQ. So there was that too. Of all of the finishes, and don't count that DQ, what was your favorite finish?
I feel you probably could have predicted mine, but Fernando Padilla standing Darce choke over Luis Penueyo was my favorite.
Yeah, pretty much left that on the table for you.
Very opportune. He's like, oh, I'm going to stand up completely exposed and, all right, sunken in, tap out, over.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. You love to see it.
How about you?
Well, I love to see Emin Shahbazyan put the hurting on AJ Dobson inside a round. That was a pretty vicious finish.
Yeah, that was good. Especially, I mean, Edmund got hurt too.
He did. It was a decent little fight.
It was weird. Edmund gets hurt and Dobson stops fighting.
That's true. He was also there.
Like, all right, like, maybe he wants to go longer.
Well, the fix was in. No. I'm not going on record of saying that's true. I'm joking.
No, although, he got rocked.
Yeah.
He got smashed.
That was a good finish. That was a good finish. And you know, Shahbazyan, I feel like he kind of got rushed along a little bit, probably needed to find his way to some better coaching.
Yes.
Than he had earlier in his career when he got probably pushed a little too far too quick. So it's good to see him moving his way back up. Probably could be fighting someone ranked a little higher up there than AJ Dobson, but either way, good win.
Yep.
100%. And that is it for the past weekend. Let's talk UFC Atlantic City. First off, I'm going. Are you going?
I won't be there. I
won't be there.
I will not be there.
It's disappointing.
Yeah.
I was hoping to get a ride home.
No AC for me.
What's that?
No AC for me.
No AC for you. Aaron Blanchfield, Manon Farrow, we were talking about before. This is the headliner of Atlantic City. I like that. Not only is this like a viable fight for a fight night main event, it's not that it's an extravaganza, but this is a fight that belongs as a fight night main event. I feel like if you're not satisfied with this, then I think your standards are too high.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
There are stakes here. There are real stakes to this fight. Now, they may abandon those real stakes because, hey, that kind of does happen. But it's easy to see why this fight is like a very much a title eliminator.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Blanchfield fighting in New Jersey as well. That's also some, you know, a key element of this. Bringing some Taylor Ham country down to pork roll, the pork roll slums. Is that what we call it? I can't remember. South Jersey is nice. They're a little misguided about what they call Taylor Ham. That's I really do like this fight. I think it's the fight that really probably should have happened even a little sooner than this, but here we are. I don't know, you got any thoughts on it other than just you're excited for it?
Just a good fight, good main event.
Mm-hmm. It is, of course, in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine we'll see some of the typical New Jersey judges, probably someone like an Eric Cologne.
The commie.
What's that?
The commie.
Anyone from South Jersey is a commie when they... I mean, with their, like I said, their Taylor Ham and not calling it right. It's like, what are you doing, guys? What are you doing?
Yeah.
What is it you are doing? I imagine Dave Torelli bringing his Taylor Ham down there from North Jersey.
Yep.
Probably. Those would be my guesses. I'm not sure. I don't know. We going to see like a Cardo Urso or...
I thought Mike Bell was at Prudential Center in May.
I wonder if they'll bring out traveling judges for... a fight night. I don't hope they do, but yeah, I don't know. Unfortunately, there will be no Dominic Carrolet, who passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So that is unfortunate. But yes, we do have usually you get some good judges working in New Jersey.
Yeah.
So that'll be nice. I like some of these other fights on here too. Vicente Luque, he was originally the main event, right? That's what they wanted anyway. I don't think that ever got signed, but it was supposed to be him and Sean Brady.
Yeah, Brady couldn't fight for some reason.
Yeah, they announced it as like, they were presented as like, oh yeah, this is going to be a fight. And everyone's like, nah, this was never really a fight. Whatever. I think they kind of backed into the right fight anyway for a main event. But Luque is still on the card. He is fighting against, or actually on the card this time, he's fighting Joaquin Buckley. Let's make that up for Buckley.
Yeah.
That's got a lot of fun potential.
Yeah, it should be a good one.
I like that one. Chris Weidman, Bruno Silva. That's a brutal fight for Weidman, too.
Hey, if he wants to fight, he's got to fight some brutal ones.
I don't think he minds. That's the thing. But you kind of wish somebody would say, well, maybe don't.
We'll see what happens. I got a feeling there's some left for Chris.
You know what? I had a nice conversation with Chris last year. It was unfortunate to see his leg get beat up a ton again. And I believe it was the other leg this time against Brad Tavares. But, you know, he was talking on Ariel's show about how he's undefeated in Atlantic City. He likes fighting in Atlantic City. There's a lot of symmetry in Atlantic City, although he's not going to retire after this fight. He does not believe, even though he thought maybe that was a possibility going in. So, you know, it's good to see. By the way, I did just look it up because I meant to look this up earlier. Erin Blanchfield fought her MMA debut in Atlantic City. And that was also her second Cage Fury fight was also based.
Was her first fight Ring of Combat?
No, they were both Cage Fury.
Both Cage Fury.
UFFC. She only made her debut actually just over 6 years ago.
There's a chance I might have been at one of those.
Yeah.
Possible.
March 24th, 2018 or June 14th, 2019?
I don't know. There's just a chance. There's just a chance I might have been there.
You should have had an encyclopedic knowledge of your own life, my friend. I like Bill Algeo against Kyle Nelson. That's a decent one. This is a decent call. Like, this is what a fight night should be.
Yeah.
You know, I'm happy with the quality here. It's not stacked. It's not lackluster. It just kind of is what I would expect a UFC fight night to be presented at.
Yeah.
Nate Landwehr against Jamal Emmers. That's another good one.
It's a good card.
It is. My prediction, too, for the contested round candidate is someone who frequently finds herself in that situation. Lupe Godinez fighting against Virna Jandidoba. That's an important fight, at least on the fringes of strawweight contendership.
I'm going to go with Reese McKee in the contested round.
Ooh. Reese McKee against... Oh, who is it against? Excuse me.
Chidi Njokuani.
That's right. I kind of like that fight, too. Even Julio Arce against Herbert Burns. Herbert Burns coming back after that injury.
Yeah, the injury.
We were both there. He got carried out. I took that photo and it got shared all around and everybody liked it.
Take another one.
Representatives from the... Well, hopefully he doesn't, you know, destroy his leg again and I take a different one. Maybe Gilbert will just carry him to, you know, just out of celebration.
Okay. We'll take it anyway.
Be okay. You like Andre Prodzowski too, right? He's on this.
Yes, he is on this card.
Should you be. Might have to think about
that's
going.
A, you
man.
Know what? That's a deal. I can't go. I got a family obligation.
So tell your family they're not worth it anymore.
Jacob Malkoon Andre. And actually, that kind of piques my interest there.
Yeah,
should be a pretty decent one.
That's what I'm saying. This is a fight night. This is a good one.
Yeah,
and it only takes them leaving the warehouse and going to where the party used to be in Atlantic City.
Yes.
Used to be. I've been to Atlantic City lately. It is not the same. But it's nice to see fights coming back there. It still feels like a place fights should be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's coming back.
Is it though?
Okay, it's over. Next week we should be there on Monday. Break down UFC AC. That should be the hashtag. You don't got to spell out the whole name.
That's gonna be a challenge for me. I'll be heading home at like 4 a.m. and from Atlantic City, driving up so I can be back by the time the Easter Bunny comes back. That's gonna be a crazy one.
All right, thanks for listening.
Take care, everybody.